Hello, hello, listener. You are very welcome to the next of my mindful meets. And if you've listened to any of my other interviews, conversations, you will know that I guess have something in common. And usually that is something to do with the mind or how they think about life, how they look after themselves, how they've perhaps been on their own journey themselves to get to a place where they then want to look after and improve the well-being of others. And today is no exception. But I have to tell you, today has been a very long time coming. And in front of me, I have the lovely Susie. Susie, say hello.
Hello, everyone. We're
There
doing this,
she.
Lori.
I know we're doing this. And before we came on, we were just trying to work out when it was that we first had our Instagram live. So Susie very kindly invited me and we had a conversation, and we think it was 2019, don't we?
Think so. I believe so. Yeah.
And it's taken this time. I mean, we have had a global pandemic in between, so I think maybe there was a bit of an excuse. But here we are now, finally. I am delighted to bring to the podcast Coach Susie. And Susie, you may have heard a little exotic accent there. So Susie is coming to us from Montreal. Isn't that exciting? And Susie is a life coach, and she's much, much more than that. She calls herself a self-love educator. And I've been following Susie for quite some time on Instagram, and so much of what she does and talks about resonated with me and the kinds of places that a lot of my clients find themselves in, where they are disempowered, where they don't quite relate to themselves or the world around them enough to be able to manage their lives in a helpful way. And of course, in my world, that means largely their relationship with food, but often it's much wider than that. So I really wanted to bring Susie on to talk about this whole subject from her very deep and totally authentic and wonderful perspective. So I'm now going to hand over to Susie and say, Susie, where would you like to start? The floor is entirely yours.
No, it's thank you so much, Lori, and thank you to everyone who came on to listen. As you were speaking, it actually evoked some feelings within me, to be honest, because if I actually look back at when we last chatted live, I mean, I know we chat here and there via DM on Instagram, but if I think about the last time we spoke live, and who I was then, that version of me, and how many versions have since evolved and came to be, it actually makes me a little bit emotional. And when you mentioned the premise behind my work, which is to educate people how to love themselves more, that really has been such a deep and powerful journey for me. And just in that 4 year, well, it will be a 4 year window, the transformation has been incredible. And if there's one takeaway that I can offer people before we even delve into today, it would be to stay the course of refining and elevating your self-love practice, because there is no project that will give you the return that that investment will bring you.
And I think that ability to do that confidence, and also that sort of, it kind of comes from an area also to say, well, am I really worth the investment? So it's a bit chicken and egg, isn't it? That almost we have to be willing to do it and feel that we are worthy of it. I come across so many people who are just I suppose their sense of how they value themselves is actually low, and therefore they don't feel that they deserve to have a better, more comfortable existence. So I wonder what your take on that sort of starting point is.
Well, I can only ever use my own journey as an example. And, to your point about people feeling that they're not, it's always a question of worthiness. Okay. It's the difference is that we don't always have an awareness around that is actually the issue. So with myself, if somebody would have asked me years ago, as a young woman, and and would come like I'm saying if this version of me came and spoke to the younger version of me and said, well, you just need to love yourself more and recognize that you're worthy, I probably would think that, this lady was out of her mind, because I did love myself. I thought I liked myself. That concept of not That idea of not feeling worthy is not always something that we can connect to. We just go through these motions on autopilot where we're self-sabotaging ourselves, we're not holding our well-being in high regard, and we don't even know why we're doing it, right? So it's only much, much later that I recognized that, I was doing that I was self-sabotaging, and that I did not truly hold my own well-being and happiness in high regard. So it's always a question of worthiness. It's just we don't connect to that. We just don't make that connection that truly accepting and loving and honoring ourselves in every context of our lives is what gives us this freedom and liberation that we need to move through our lives with flow.
Yes, and I think that is so true in that we see the symptoms of it. So with many people that I work with, it will be a self-sabotaging relationship with food. And we try and deal with that in whatever way without actually being able to stand back, as you say, and have that helicopter view and say, well, what actually is causing that? Where does it come from? And did this inability for me to cope without using food as a crutch come from a previous experience? Is it about how I view myself within the world? That's actually really hard for people to do on their own, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Absolutely. I always like to guide people and ask them, how long have you felt dissatisfied? Because I believe that this impetus for change comes from a prolonged feeling of dissatisfaction in whatever area of your life it may be. So it might be your relationship with food. It might be, your relationship with alcohol. It might be, the relationship with your significant other, or the way you parent your kids, or how you feel at your job, or how your relationship with money. How long have you felt dissatisfied? And for some people, it takes a really, really, really long time to sit in that dissatisfaction. It could be decades before they say, one day they just wake up and unbeknownst to them, they have this feeling, this overpowering feeling that says, you know what? I'm done. I don't want to spend another day of my life in this energy.
And
And for
that's
some,
hard, and that's quite frightening, actually. And I think that's why sometimes, even though perhaps at the back of our mind we know that this is going on, we really don't want to face it because of the impact and the potential trauma and disruption that actually facing that might create.
right. And I like to say, the way I see it is that people change of one or two reasons. Either they're forced to change because some life event has forced them to now have to move through life differently. So that could be, a myriad of different things beyond our control. Or they're just so fed up of feeling the way they feel, so that now it's like, okay, you know what? Today, now I'm going to do things differently. And the decision is the most important part, as you know. I mean, no one can make you change. No one can, can dangle the carrot, but you're going to be chasing it until you decide, whatever. That's probably not the best example, but I think where I'm going with that. You can't make somebody change. They've got to want it. Once they want it and they've made that decision, the decision, wanting and deciding, two very different things. The power that comes with making the decision is what's going to start to move the needle and to start to shift. And a lot of people, when they've made the decision, then they need help. It's like, okay, I've decided. Now what do I do? It's
And do
now what?
you find that quite a lot of people, once they've made that decision, want to start doing something quite quickly, and perhaps have an expectation that things happen quite quickly for them?
Yeah, I was that person. I was that person. My mother always said, "Oh, miss, I want it and I want it now." You know, that's me. But healing and refining yourself is certainly not, "I want it and I want it now." It's, "I want it and I'm going to work for it." And that's hard. And a lot of people, you know, they that's the spoke in the wheel. That consistency and showing up for yourself consistently is what, you know, slows the process down or has people giving it up altogether. But, you
And
know, yeah, go ahead.
while we're talking about you, I'm really interested for you to share with us what actually started to present itself to you that made you want to do the changes, create the changes for yourself, and then decide that you wanted to bring that to other people. That's two questions really, but
Yeah, it's two questions. I guess for me, the beginning was that I had a lot of struggle in my marriage. I often felt overpowered and not seen and not heard in my relationship. And I also parented, my parenting journey was also very, very tumultuous, meaning the way I parented my own children. I have a daughter who was highly sensitive. And of course, I didn't know there was a term for that back then, HSP, highly sensitive person. So she was just like colossally annoying for me. And because I was completely unaware of my own healing that had to take place from my own childhood, from parents that, you know, maybe not maybe, they didn't parent consciously. And what's first, the chicken or the egg, right? How far do we go back? How far do we have to go back to see the dysfunction? I always use that, even with my own children, or I'm a teacher, so I talk about that with my, even with my students sometimes. Like, okay, so my parents didn't parent me consciously, and their parents didn't parent them consciously, and their parents, and so how far do we have to go back? I mean, so because of the struggle in my marriage and how I felt in my marriage and how I felt as a failure as a mother. At one point, I remember I was turning 40. This was the turning point for me. And it's funny because I know you deal with obviously the Mindful Eating Clinic. For me, I had gained a lot of weight. I had just turned 40, and we were on vacation on an outing in Toronto with my family. And I caught myself in the hotel mirror. And the vision of what looked back at me through the mirror was so sad. I was like, look at this sad lady. I felt for me, I felt frumpy. I felt not unkempt, but uncared for by myself. And I don't know how to explain it any other way. I was just, for me, that was a turning point. And I said, you know what? When we get back from this trip, I'm going to join a gym and I'm going to start taking care of me. So the whole ride home from Toronto with my family, I was telling my husband, I was like, you know what? I was a stay-at-home mom for years. I worked part-time as a teacher just to keep my foot in the door, but I was home with my kids for 16 years. And I got to be honest, I didn't enjoy staying home with my kids. It was not fulfilling for me. I wasn't doing a very good job. So there was a lot of heaviness around that. And the whole way home, I was just like, I'm joining a gym. I'm going to join a gym. And I had this resolve that I was going to start taking care of myself. And that really was the start of my journey back to myself, I'm going to say. So I started working out. And this Lori was so empowering for many reasons. I felt more connected to my body. I liked the results. I found community there. was an all-women's gym. I found community with other women. And I felt somehow in control, and there was no keeping me back. Like I was going to go to the gym. Like there was no, and for some reason, it was like I had given myself a pass. Like there was no guilt attached. So when I would say, okay, mom's going to the gym, it was like, okay, it was acceptable. Like I wasn't going out to, I don't know, I can't even think of anything now to compare it to, but
Have lunch with a friend, for example.
everyone in the family respected that mom was going to the gym. Like that was a good thing, you know? And
And I'm just
then,
thinking that probably some of that was around your commitment and your confidence. In other words, it wasn't a question. You didn't say to them, is it okay if I go to the gym? You weren't asking for permission. You said, I'm going to the gym. And I think often the way we deliver these things can have a real impact on then how they are received and how people accept. This
so
is a
glad you brought
statement.
up.
This
So
is not a
glad you brought
question.
that up. I'm so glad you brought that up because it was said in an energy of certainty. Like it was a boundary. It was like an automatic boundary that was attached to that. It was like, I'm going. And to your point about confidence, you know, it wasn't just the physical effects of working out, you know, the serotonin and the good endorphins and all of that, which is so important. It was, I'm showing up for myself. Like I am showing up for myself. And that for me really was what started that wheel going, right? And as you know, once we commit to one small thing that we do every single day, every single week, every single month, then that turns into two things and to three things and to four things. So after about, you know, 6 months to a year of this commitment to self in the gym, well, that was an outer revolution. I like to say that was the outer part of me, the physical part of me that I kind of gained control over. Then I start to go inward and started to say, well, you know, I've set this boundary and I'm going to the gym. Well, now I can set boundaries with how you speak to me. I can set boundaries with I need a break. I can set boundaries with you know, well, you don't want to talk about that. Well, I think that's important. And I think that we need to talk about this as an example. You can get the idea. So that was the impetus behind the first, you know, change to your question. And the second part was in, so that was 2009. I was 40. Okay, now don't everyone get like shocked with the year, the amount of years in between. So in 2017, so 8 years later, and a lot of growth had happened over those 8 years. A lot of self-confidence was built. A lot of honoring of the self was built. It was like a slow build, but a consistent build, always moving forward, you know? Then in 2017, I said, you know, there's got to be something more. I feel like I need to do something more. I don't know what it is. Can't put my finger on it, but I know there's more for me. There's got to be something more that I'm going to do. And then I started my blog, and I feel like I've been talking a long time, but
No. I'm just sitting here nodding and enjoying it. But something did come to mind that I talk about with my clients, and that's household hierarchy. Because I find that quite a lot of people that I'm working with are quite low on the household hierarchy. And I'm imagining that this standing your ground and having conversations, even when other people didn't want to, did you feel that you'd climbed up the ladder a little bit in your own household in terms of being heard and where you
yeah,
were?
and I don't want to blame it a generation thing, but I always say, like, you know, have you ever watched the Flintstones? Okay. So, I mean, I grew up watching the Flintstones. My mother was Wilma and my dad was Fred. And, you know, I became Wilma and I married Fred. And I did that on autopilot. I mean, as a young girl, a Gen X, I mean, I was born in 1969. That's, you know, that's middle of Gen X. And, you know, I just followed the status quo. I remember saying, "Oh my God, if I'm not married by the time I'm 25, I don't know what I'm gonna like. What? Like what? My daughter would never like the young girls today. That's not, their only goal." And I can't blame anyone. It's just the way it was, right? So,
Sure.
and I'm certainly not bashing my partner. We've been married for 30 years. Like 2024, we'll be married 30 years. And he stood by me through all my waves. And I've stood by him. But just to say, that was a marriage that was like, okay, we're gonna get married. I'm gonna be the stay-at-home mom, and you're gonna go to work, and I'm gonna be the caregiver and take care of the house. And I didn't even ask myself if I wanted to do that. Like, I didn't like doing all of that. I just that's what you did. So to your point about hierarchy, and that came much, much later in my marriage, where I started to tune in to me and say, "Oh, I don't feel good when I only do this. I don't like just doing that. I don't feel fulfilled. When am I feeling the happiest? What brings me joy? What lights me up?" So it's a process, right? The unfolding you and the coming back to you and loving yourself enough to explore what makes your heart sing, that's a process, right?
And where is the balance, do you think, Susie, between doing all of that for ourselves and also keeping in mind that we have a responsibility also to other people that we might share our lives with, or in a work environment? How have you managed to find a balance that is comfortable for you and for the people around you?
Well, I think it all has to do with energy. So for me personally, it's always been about energy. And what I've recognized, the more I grew to love and honor myself and make sure that my needs were met. And I'm not talking about spa days and going away with the girls. No, I'm talking about, did I eat well? Did I sleep well? Did I drink water? Did I move my body? Did I read? Did I sit in stillness? Did I reconnect back to myself? Then I feel solid and I feel certain and I feel loved and cared for by me. So then my responsibilities, like I lean into them with, I want to say, joy, because I feel good, right? There was so much resentment in doing those tasks because I was giving, 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 but not doing that for myself. And that was a very long lesson to learn. It's like everyone was taking and taking and taking, but I would never fill my own reserves. So I wasn't
And I think
nourishing.
that quite often we start off like that, don't we? Because we have a certain role. And I think at the beginning of that role, wife, mother, would even be working, that it's comfortable because we think it's what we want. And then
Exactly.
we
Exactly.
evolve, and then we get to a point where actually it's not what we want. And in a way, sometimes it's quite hard for other people to go, "Oh, hang on a minute, I thought this is what you wanted. I didn't know." And I suppose we can say, "Well, I'm sorry, hun, but I actually didn't know either. But this is where I am now, and it's a growing process, and I'm 20 years older than when we started. And actually,
100.
that's not doing it for me anymore."
Yeah. Yeah.
So this self-love thing then.
Yes.
How would you, maybe you might start by saying, well, if you don't have it present in your life, this is what it looks like. But I'm just quite keen to get a little bit of tangible stuff around it so that people know what it looks like, or what they might aspire to, or what they might want to try and move away from towards having more of this self-love and this self-value.
Well, if I had to, the way it started with me, it's that my whole life improved. I was able to live everything better, hence the handle of my, you know, of my Instagram and my
live
website.
It all better.
Live it all better. So self-love is what allowed me to live it all better. So in every single context of my life. And it came with awareness. And by awareness, you know, all change happens in awareness. Awareness around how am I feeling in every moment of my life, right? So when I'm with my children, and we're having a conversation and I feel triggered for whatever reason, you know, if your kid is complaining or they're having a tantrum or they're having a bad day and you're not able to meet them in an energy of, you know, calm and curiosity, and you're not able to help regulate them because you yourself are dysregulated, then that was a problem, right? So I felt like the more I was stable and I was able to stabilize myself, the better I was in every context of my life. And that came with that showing up for myself. And it starts, a lot of people don't know where to begin. And for me, and I often suggest this to my clients and to people who chat about it, is to start taking care of yourself physically. Start with the foundation, okay? And it's, you know, the tiers of wellness, right? The physical tiers of wellness. It's sleep and hydration and eating clean and moving your body, right? So people see shifts very, very quickly once they start to take care of themselves physically and show up for themselves physically. And that really does serve as the foundation. The better you feel, the better your vibe. The better you feel, the nicer you are in conversations. The better you feel, the more you feel like you can accomplish things and do things and you feel capable. So that's where I suggest people begin to show themselves self-love. That's honoring the self. When you're taking
Yes.
care of yourself physically, okay? Now the emotional stuff will come much later, you know, dealing with triggers in your childhood and inner child healing and, you know, recognizing that you're part of something much bigger, the spiritual aspect, recognizing you're part of something much bigger than yourself and all of that. That will come if you start to open space to taking care of yourself physically.
Yeah. And I guess that at the beginning, it's almost a question of not overthinking it. So
100%, 100%.
Taking those little steps and going, right, I'm not going to build this into some amazingly huge plan here. I'm just going to put everything down and go for a walk because it can wait. And this is about me. You know, just that small thing. Doesn't have to be a really expensive plan, gym membership even, does it? If you're lucky enough to be able to go outside and have half an hour walking around. And then, as you say, it leads to something else. And you're right in that the minute we start to make these little changes, and I noticed this with my clients as well, then it's almost like the door just sort of opens a tiny bit, just goes, you know, and then it opens a little bit more. And then at the end of it, they're walking through it and then they're going, hey, this is me. Look, and I don't want to eat that stuff. And this is how I'm going to look after myself. I don't care what you're eating. No, I don't want any more cake, you know, and they're able to really hold their own desires, their own pathway themselves around it, you know.
Yeah.
And like you, of course, I got to the point where I had achieved some things for myself, and I wanted to help people to find the same thing. And I think when something is so joyous in us, and I can see that in you, Susie, when it's so life-changing, we don't want to sit and be quiet about it, do we?
I mean, I don't, I cannot. And as it is with you, I feel like that's my mission. That's my mission. I was a person that did not love themselves. And as a result, my life didn't feel good. Then I became someone who did love themselves and my life started to feel good. I mean, it's as simple as that. And it's consistency and it's showing up for yourself. The statement I use often on my Instagram is, I love me, so I make choices for me. And that feels good. So, to your point, I'm going to put it all down and go for a walk because I love me and I make choices for me. And that feels good. You will never go out for a walk and not come back and feel refreshed, have space in your mind, feel cleared. There's like a clearing. You've oxygenated your body. Fresh air has gone in. You've looked up at the sky, even if you think you haven't. You've subconsciously recognized that it's little you out in the big world, and it's not so serious. It's just, switching out soda for water, right? I love me, so I make choices for me, and that feels good. Soda's not
Yes.
good for me. I'm not going to have the soda. The baked potato instead of the French fries. I mean, I love French fries, but I love me, so I make choices for me, and that feels good. Don't get me wrong, I'm going to have fries every so often, but I'm
Good. I'm glad to
consistently,
hear it.
but I'm consistently making choices that hold my own well-being and happiness in high regard because I love me, so I make choices for me, and that feels good. And I wasn't
And
doing
it's
that for
And for
so many.
anyone who is listening, this it's just radiating through looking at Susie talking about all of this. So when you work with someone, when you help someone on that journey, what does that look like? I know you have some different ways that you work with people. Just to us about that, because I think this is really something that I think many people would really like to understand more about how they can get it into their life. And you've very kindly given us a few early steps. But what does it look like when they work with you?
There's a lot of sitting and listening, and there's a lot of, I guess, radiating of energy on my part that I know that there's your spirit there within you that wants to be free. And I know that you can do it. And I know that you have the answers within you to allow that to happen. So it sounds like a woo-woo situation, but it really isn't. It's, I know you can do it. So when someone is telling me whatever it is that's holding them back, I know that together, through using our tools and strategies of what works for them, because everyone's journey is unique, right? Someone might already be someone that goes to the gym regularly, but is stuck with something else. So just integrating small things daily, whether it's a reframing of your thought process or going through the process of separating how you feel from what the actual facts are, getting out of your head when you start to spiral, halting it, getting to your journal, whatever it is. But it's with the ultimate knowing that this is not going to be your permanent state of being. You can and you will be able to liberate yourself from this. And from the other, all the other self-imposed blockages that, we do to ourselves because we're
That's
human
quite
and
interesting.
that's human
Self-imposed
too.
blockages. Yeah, they are then really largely self-imposed, you think?
I absolutely do. I absolutely do. And it's funny, I had this conversation with my principal because I'm always talking about, I always tell him, I want to be the school's life coach. Can you make that happen? And so he says, why do you always look on the positive? What, there's not a positive in every situation. And I say, well, I said, either you can, and we all know this, either you can change it or you have to change the way you look at it. Oh, but that, and then he argues, well, that could be complacency. Well, that depends on how you look at it, right? If I choose to switch out the lens through which I look at the situation so that I hold my own well-being and happiness in high regard, well, then who wins?
Absolutely. And I
There's some.
think you had a very recent Instagram post that I
Yeah.
think touched on that very topic. And I just love all your, you just do these very short to camera reels, and sometimes you've no makeup at all. It's just completely authentic you, and you're just going, do you know what? I just need to share something with you. And it's like we're in a room with you. And I think they're incredibly powerful and very real and very easy to understand. They're just little seeds that you sow in our mind that, you know, I find are germinating for the rest of the day very often.
Ah, thanks. That's so nice of you to say. I appreciate that. That's very affirming feedback that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
Does it feel like that? Does it feel now that you're doing what you're supposed to do?
100%.
Mm.
And I'm not attached to an outcome on the other side. For a long time, perhaps, I mean, I have visions and goals. I just did a post on that as well about manifesting. But the most recent understanding around all of this for me is that the ends have become a mean. The means have become an end in and of itself, which means that I just love this journey, this unfolding of me, this waking up every day and being open to what is possible. And what am I going to learn about myself today? How am I going to help someone today? And you know, Lori, we don't know how far our reach goes. We have no idea. You know, that encouraging word that you said to someone, that seed that you planted about making a shift, that time that you took to listen to somebody and just with your energy, you let them know that it's going to be okay and you're going to get out of this. We have no idea. We are in service to the collective. And I think that we have all come down here with wisdom and talents and gifts. And if we're using them to help others and elevate the lives of others, then, you know, and you're doing it in
Absolutely.
your capacity, and I'm doing it in my capacity. And I believe that everyone has that. Everyone has that in some way or another.
And we're recording this at the beginning of January. And there's so much emphasis, isn't there, on the what, you know, being more productive and doing more and doing it like this, and a little and some stuff on how, perhaps as well. But very little focus on who. And I feel like this conversation is about the who, and it all starts from the who. Who am I? And how am I look after myself? And that really, you know, I mentioned a seed earlier, and I'm now thinking, if you think about a bulb, the who part is that bottom of the bulb, isn't it? And then the rest that comes out is going to be so dependent on all the goodness that's in that bulb. And that's what you're saying we have to start with. That's where the focus has to be, on that nurturing and that loving of ourselves, because then everything else can flower and blossom in a much more productive and beautiful way.
You can live it all better is what happens. That's what ends up happening.
Exactly.
So
Yeah.
the decision, you know, we go back to making that decision and then not knowing what to do next. A lot of people don't know what to do next once they've decided to, okay, I'm going to do things differently. I don't want to live like this anymore. Okay, so to your point now about the who. So you'd be surprised how many people have not asked themselves or done an exploration on themselves. Who do I want to be? How do I want to be? And what are my values? I mean, I never did that as a young girl. I didn't know who I wanted to be, and I didn't know what kind of energy, like the how of you know what I wanted to be. And I didn't like okay, I had an idea of values, but I didn't like write them down, articulate them, then have a vision of okay, so to live these values, I'm going to have to this, and that. It was all autopilot. And it's, you know, we're a product of our generation, product of our upbringing. That's fine, but we don't have to continue doing that, right? If you're dissatisfied and you're unhappy, stop. Bring some awareness to the bulb. Who do you want to be? How do you want to be? What are your values? And what micro shifts can you make? We're talking about immediate results. What micro shifts can you make right here, right now, based on that mini exploration of who you want to be and how you want to be and what your values are, that can start shifting your, and you will see shifts very quickly once you get clear on who and how you want to be. And those shifts are addicting. It's like, oh wow, I decided to do that, and it felt good, and it's just a ball, a snowball that starts to roll, and it's like you start to realize all this power you have. Can harness that power within that we all have. We all have that. I mean, if I had it, holy smokes, I'm telling you, everyone has it.
I think that should be the strap line. We all have it. You've heard it here. And that includes you, listener. That includes everybody. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly right. Oh, Susie, so much for us to feel really quite inspired and warm and feel about another foot taller, actually, when I'm sitting
Yeah,
down. But I just feel, yeah, absolutely. Just do it. Feel it, look, be aware, change. Yeah, thank you.
and may I talk a little bit about my program that I've just launched?
I was just about to say, where can people find you? What have you got happening will enable us to get some of this feeling? Go for it.
Thank you for allowing me to share that. So, on Instagram, my handle is at live it all better, one word, obviously. And you can find my website is coachingwithsusie.com, but you can find that through my Instagram. And I've just recently launched a workshop. It's a series of five workshops that will give you all the tools and strategies, some of which we've talked about here. To learn how to love yourself more. So we start with personal accountability, which is the
Well, that's a
kudos.
big one.
Oh yeah, that's a
Oh boy.
doozy. When you start to look at maybe you had a hand in a little bit of the dissatisfaction that's been going on in your life. But that's okay. We talk about how you meet yourself with grace and compassion and forgiveness and honor every past version of yourself. So we start with personal accountability. Who do I want to be? How do I want to be? What are my values, my non-negotiables? Then we shift into the self-love toolbox. This is where, we get you all geared up so that when you are triggered, or when you feel stuck, or when you feel unworthy, or when you feel blocked, you can go to this toolbox. And not, maybe not all the tools are for you, but there's certainly going to be some good ones in there that are going to help you get out of your loop and back into your flow. And then the third one is about inner communication with your inner child, not inner child healing. Coaches don't do that, but opening communication with the younger versions of you and telling them what they need to hear and seeing them and honoring them. And then conscious intention and shifting into alignment and creating our own personal why of why we're going to commit to this self-honoring and this self-love moving forward. So it's a really comprehensive program. It's a commitment of about 5 hours. I say 5 hours-ish, right? So every week for about an hour. And it's really going to give you what you need to
Yeah.
learn how to love yourself more and stay committed to that.
It sounds amazing. And j just as you went through, it was sparking all sorts of other thoughts, which if we had another hour, we would talk about. But maybe you'll come back again and talk more about where you are on your ever, ever growing journey, because we never really stop, do we, Susie? It's not like it's doesn't really have a finite end, this kind of
No,
process.
it doesn't end, and that shouldn't be something that's daunting. It should be something that is exciting, and you meet that with curiosity because it's a constant evolving and unfolding of you. And isn't that glorious? Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. So I wonder if we could encourage everybody listening to look at the rest of their day and to practice one self-love thing for them. So what might they ask themselves in order to find something, just one thing that they do for themselves today?
Well, it will be unique to every person. You can ask yourself, what is it that I need right now? What feels most important right now? Something tangible, something that you could do, whether it's moving your body or reading something very nourishing or eating something very nourishing or having a heart-to-heart with someone that you feel safe with. Whatever it is that your soul is calling from within, tap into your intuition. Ask yourself, take a moment of stillness. What do I need today? And the voice within will answer you.
And do it. Put yourself first for that, at least for that moment, and do it. Yeah.
I in my post yesterday, it was, it's so exciting when you are committed to this process because it's like you're on a journey with your soulmate, right? But the soulmate is you. Like it's you, it's your soul. It's the essence of you that you have fallen in love with and that you're nurturing and nourishing. And it's a beautiful relationship. The most
Absolutely.
important relationship you will ever have.
And that, in a way, is good news for anybody who talks to themselves. It's a good thing.
Absolutely.
It's not.
Kindly, speak kindly.
Very kindly. Yes, absolutely. Oh, you breathe. Oh, Susie.
Thank
That was
you
so
so much.
lovely.
Thank you so
Oh.
much. What
Thank
a
you
nice
for joining
chat.
us.
What nice flow we have. Wow.
Oh, it's just lovely. And I will put all the details in the podcast notes so that anyone can look you up, follow you, perhaps come to you to do some work. I have a lot of listeners in North America. In fact, I was going through some stats today, and the majority of my listeners, by a few percentage, are in North America. So there are lots of people on your doorstep. And I hope if you're in anywhere near close to the right time zone, just do yourself a favor and just spend some time with Susie because it's just wonderful.
Thank you. I appreciate you, Laurie. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us. So there we are. I hope you enjoyed that. And I will join you again, or maybe you might join me. I do hope so, for the next mindful meet. It might even be a mindful moment if something comes to my head that I feel like I want empty into a microphone. But in any case, whatever it is, thank you so much for listening, for supporting the podcast. Oh, I know what I meant to mention. If you like the podcast, you can support it with a very small regular contribution, and then I can get even more exciting, wonderful, beautiful people to talk to me on the call. In the meantime, have a wonderful day and enjoy that little moment of self-love that you're going to make for yourself. Bye-bye.